Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yes, I don't know if I know the word in English, but I would say consistency.
Yeah.
Like, you have to continue doing just a few designs or a few paintings won't change your whole scenario. You have to keep pushing yourself and keep doing it even though you're not selling or even though you haven't found that place that you need to show your work, for example, or you don't have any clients.
I think art is a form of expression for an artist. It is so personal, it's inspiring, thought-provoking. It's like a language in itself that can be interpreted in so many different ways and I believe can change lives. I am so in awe of all the artists that I have chatted with in this series, and I have personally learned and gained so much from each conversation. And I hope you do the same. So happy listening. Hi everyone, today I am in conversation with the lovely Maria Montiel. Maria is Venezuelan, but she lives in Barcelona. Maria is an artist and a very, very talented artist. As I saw on her website, she says, and I quote her, she says, "I want to share with the world my inner jungle full of passion and color." Thank you so much, Maria, for joining me today, because I'm sure you will, you know, have a lot to share with not just with me, but also with my listeners and viewers.
Hi, Payal. Thank you so much for inviting me. And hi, and hello to everyone. I'm super happy to be here and share a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So those who are listening to the podcast and won't be watching the episode when it's published on YouTube, there's a lot of color behind Maria, and it's all her art, and it's very vibrant. You know, and there's a lot of floral kind of depictions in your art, Maria. So I would love to talk to you about that. But before we get into talking about your art, a little bit about your personal journey would be interesting.
Great. Well, as you said, I'm from Venezuela and I grew up there. My whole family is from there. And I went to my parents both are architects. So and my grandfather was an art collector from Venezuelan painters and national art. And my grandmother was my father's mother. She was very like a gardener and enthusiast.
Yeah.
And she had like all this there was a huge garden around my grandparents' house with mango trees, and she also had a huge collection of orchids. So I was like, when I was growing up, I was surrounded with about, you know, from beautiful things, from a lot of nature. My dad is always, he's been also a very nature and gardener and orchids fan. So I've always been surrounded by nature. And every time we did a family trip, like a vacation, we've always go to a museum or to an art gallery, some things like that. And I remember my parents always talking about, you know, construction materials and, you know, perspective, you know, and a lot of things that made me like aware of like everything, you know, and that really helped me define that I wanted to be a graphic designer. So I knew that I wanted to do something artistic, but I didn't know what when I was in school. And then when I decided, I didn't want to be an architect, but I wanted to do something more, more expressive. I don't know. Architecture can be very creative.
Less technical and more free flow, creative kind of work. Okay.
So I went to graphic design school. It was the career I did in Venezuela was very like complete. It had a lot of different subjects, and the whole pensum was very rich. We did a lot of manual things like screen printing or engravings and things like that. Like, but I also learned about, well, you know, drawing, illustration, technical, techniques to express some things. And I also learned about Photoshop and all the graphic design softwares. At the end of my career, I developed like a special love for illustration. And the final years, like the last year, I was also like supported by a teacher, and she was very strict, like very, she didn't like anything. Like, she was very like, oh, you have to be better, you have to, she was very strict. I don't know if that works.
She was a perfectionist.
She was hard. And she liked what I was doing. So that for me was a huge push, you know, to say, okay, let's trust this. So I started developing. I did a few exhibitions, solo shows in Venezuela. I wasn't like really thinking about it. I just did it, you know. It wasn't very a huge thing, but I wanted to show my things to my friends and to the people around me in my community. So I did two solo shows before deciding that I wanted to leave the country, because my father was very also supportive of me to go and specialize myself in something more further there than just graphic design. And the country was really deteriorating. Like, it was the political scene, and we didn't see a lot of opportunities there, and what we saw was a lot of chaos and insecurity and an unstable political situation. And so we decided to come here. We is me and my boyfriend of that time, that is my husband now, my partner. He was also living, he's from there, but his family is from Europe. And we decided to come here to Spain because he had some family here. And I decided that I wanted to specialize myself in pattern design, textile design. Well, the master I did was called Master in Surface and Textile Design in the Instituto Europeo de Design. And I thought that it was going to be like a good way to mix like this love for illustration and the knowledge that I had from the graphic design and the softwares and all the computer and the technical stuff. And I did that for a year. And yeah, the whole transition from Venezuela to Spain was hard, of course. This was in 2007. And at the beginning, after I graduated from college, I started like printing my own things, and I was creating my own t-shirts and bags and things in my house. And I was selling them in markets and all to my friends and the people that I knew. And I stopped that when I came here, but that already was like a special place for me. And that's how Cayena Blanca was born. Like I love to the idea to create something like a product with my illustrations. I've always loved or been searching this way to, let's say, object, I don't know how to put it in English, but give to my illustration, especially like a meaning, you know, like you have a product, you have a service, but it's not only like the illustration and that's it. I've always loved the idea of making that into something else, you know. So when I was in Venezuela before coming here, so I'm talking about 2007, I already started that. I already had my name. But then I came here and I started doing the textile design. I left the country. I was by myself here because my partner was in another state, and it was really hard. It was my first winter ever. Like, we don't have a winter in Venezuela. My city is very hot, so I got sick. I was missing my family like very, very much. So there was a few years that I stopped like searching for that. You know, I'm going to do products, or I'm going to do that. I was adjusting myself to the culture and to everything, to all the changes. But after a few years, I started again, like understanding, and I started like producing again something for Cayena Blanca. So and in that moment, I actually worked for Hewlett Packard for many years, and I was doing greeting card designs. And I always worked remotely, so I always had the opportunity to keep growing that side of that. Cayena Blanca for me is like a portfolio. It's like a way, it's my place to show these things that I want to show, that I feel like I need to show to everyone, or I just need to put them out there. And it's always been like that since 2007. I have that name, and I remember I download Instagram like the first week it was out, and I don't know, maybe it was 2010 or 11. I don't remember right now, but it's been like with me since a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm talking like I did a lot of like.
No, it's interesting. So essentially, you've like established your background and, you know, the early life influences that you've had because of your parents being architects, because of your grandfather being an art collector, your grandmother growing a lot of, like, very fond of gardening. So I can see that those are your early influences. And then you kind of, after coming to Barcelona, you dabbled with art when you were there in Venezuela, but you did not have that much clarity. But then you did textile design, and then you also got yourself a full-time job, but you kept kind of progressing with your art on the side. What is because from what I saw of your solo show when I was in Barcelona, and what I've seen mentioned on your website, it's mainly watercolors, right? So now here there are two things that I'd like to ask you. One is why watercolors, and is that the only medium that you work with? That's one. And two, what kind of are the motivating factors that help you to create your work? What really, as I mentioned earlier at the start of our conversation, that it seems like you work, and I can see in the background as well a lot of floral, and forest and that kind of art. So is that your influence? Where did that come from? And the first part was, of course, is watercolor the only medium that you use, or do you use other mediums as well? And why?
When I was in college and I was with this teacher that I told you, the technique that we were experimenting with in that moment that I created something that you like was watercolor. And I don't know, I love the fluidity and the surprise of the watercolor, especially the way that I work with it. That it's not very conventional or institutional, I don't know, like classical way to work watercolor. I like the wash, the water, and how it mix together. The fact that the less you touch it, it's the best because you will get something more unique. And all of that, I think, has helped me a lot to express myself and also kind of challenge myself with other things that are more like having more patience when you're painting, like wait it out to dry and then continue adding things and things like that. I feel I work with acrylic. At the beginning, I worked with acrylics a little bit and with markers, and I was doing a lot of line drawings, like something more sketchier. And a long time ago, this is 2005. So, and the I kept that line for a few years. And I was doing a lot of line drawings with then washes on top of it and things like that. And at some point, I left it behind and I changed. So for many years, I did just use watercolor, different types. Like I did liquid watercolors, I did inks, I mixed them. Then I was just doing Godet and the typical pen, And then in like a few years back, I changed or I evolved. I don't know. I moved from only working on paper and I wanted to work on canvas. No, because for example, this is paper, but this is a canvas, stretch canvas, this is a stretch canvas, and this too. So when I started working and I wanted to go bigger and make a bigger scale, I started making my own pigments, my own paint. So I bought pigments that could be used with a watercolor medium or a gouache medium too. So I am creating both when I am painting in a bigger scale. I also am creating my own watercolor pens. So I have my own like color palette. And Now I'm able to, you know, really do the quantity that I need. And I'm also experimenting a lot with spray paint, and a lot of also fluorescent pigments.
Yeah.
One of a really cool thing about the exhibition that I'm sorry you missed was for the opening, I made like an installation. And you know, in Taller Balam, when you go to the back and to the left where the workshops happen, all of that I closed it completely, like it was a black room, and I suspended like it was a fabric, it was a canvas, but it was more like a fabric that it wasn't stretched, so it was like something that was, and it was with I worked with fluorescent pigments and the light also the UV light. So it created a really cool effect. So I'm always like trying new things, you know. But it's always been watercolors. It's always been wash that the wash also gives you this fluidity. You know, I like that. I need that fluidity, the in color, in that movement. And about the second question, you know, yes, I'm always inspired by nature, but I feel like this nature that I paint, that it's really, it's not real, it's not realistic. It's a way to put like a materialize or my ideas or my thoughts or my what do you say? Yeah, my anhelos, my longings.
Okay.
My, you know, these feelings that I have, you know, the feelings that I have. I'm a very sensitive person, and I've always feel that I see the world differently than most of the people that, or most of the people that I have around me. And I always have this a lot of like, yeah, like ideas or things, you know, inside that I needed to express somehow. So for me, it's like a necessity. And I am not, I mean, it's not like, oh, I go to the countryside, or I go to a floral shop and I get inspired by a certain flower.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That could happen, but if I need to paint right now, I will start doing it without thinking about something specific, you know. It's like if I'm an instrument, you know, and when I'm painting, I don't really think about, you know, the concept behind it. When I'm doing a textile design, it's different. If I'm doing it for me, usually, I don't think too much, but if I'm working for a client or something, it's different. I have to follow a story and I have to follow, you know, some rules.
Yeah.
But it was really hard for me to do this show, the Essencia show that you went to, my solo show. Because some of the pieces I've had them in my house for 2 or 3 years, and I just wasn't ready to show them, you know. And I don't know why, but it's been like a very long process with my paintings, because my textile designer job, it's for me more commercial, it's more steady, I have more work of that and more income from that. But my paintings and the other side is more personal, so I don't want to rush it. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this show, and what's your inspiration? You know, that's the biggest question ever. And for me, I come to this name, Esencia, because it's what is, you know, it's, you can see flowers, of course, you can see flowers. But for me, it's like feelings, you know, it's like memories. It's something that I have inside that I can put a name on it. And you, of course, because it's always this type of, you know, forms, and it's very organic, and I love flowers, I love nature, but I don't see it. I think the inspiration is not very literal, you know, it's more about myself, I think.
Yeah, so it's more, you know, it's, yeah, I understand. So it's not, you know, the physical flowers that you see or the forest that you go into that actually gives you that inspiration. It actually comes from your sentiments, your you know, how you're feeling at the time. So that's what is your creative process, because everyone has a different creative process, right? So I guess that is your creative process. Okay, so you know, any kind of particular art or piece that you created has actually stayed with you? I mean, you have mentioned that, you know, your textile is commercial, so you're attached, but you know, you do get you monetize from it, but your canvas and paper art, you're now starting to share it, but earlier you were not quite willing to share it. So any one piece that has stayed with you, any one piece that you've created and that you're not willing to, you know, sell commercially or willing to share with anyone. So is there anything that is so close to your heart that you can talk about?
I don't know. Like, I have very special pieces. For example, in the show, you know, the big painting Memories that was behind the front desk. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
That was a big, very big painting. That was the first big canvas that I painted. And my second baby was just born. And I don't know, I got this idea that I needed to do that in that moment. I mean, it wasn't like just born, but it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 months after. And I remember the way that I painted it was very complicated because I didn't have space. So I was like rolling it up a little bit, painting, letting it dry, then rolling it up. So it was really hard. It was very a challenge for me. And I was experienced a lot with a lot of longing. Is that a word?
Longing.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In that moment. And I was thinking a lot about memories and how, because you're away, especially I don't go home often, you know, it's been maybe 10 years since I've been to Venezuela, so I feel like sometimes memories and of things and places and people just, you know, vanish or change or deteriorate. So I was you know, just thinking a lot about that. And that's why that's when I started doing this. If you see the painting, you are going to see like it's some of the forms that are like dripping, or like you can say they are crying, or maybe it's like the forms are there, but they are somehow vanishing or something. That was what I wanted to accomplish. So for me, it's very special because it was like the beginning of this new chapter that I started when I started working on canvas. Nobody forced me to do it. I wanted to do it because I wanted to do it. And everyone in the family is very attached to that piece because it's, I mean, you can see the melancholy in it, or I can see it, but there's a lot of nice colors, and it's very, what you read, it's more happier than sad. Then I did another one that it's very, it's more heavy. So yeah, that one is very special for me. I mean, if I was rich, I wouldn't sell it, you know, but if someone says that wants to buy it, I would probably sell, but it would hurt me. And I know I would miss it, especially because for me, it's like a trophy, you know, it's like, oh, you did this. You
it
know?
Was, like
it was the, difficult.
Yeah. It was the beginning of a journey, and it was,
yeah,
you know, like you mentioned, that's very interesting the way you say that. There was a lot of memories tend to fade, and you know, and there was a little bit of sadness because of that. And then how you use that to bring out that emotion onto canvas is you know exactly what. I guess what you're meaning. So no, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think art is, I mean, clearly you talk to an artist, every artist will say that it's therapeutic. And, you know, and a lot of people who are going through mental health are encouraged to take up art so that they can express. If they're not able to verbalize, then they can express their emotions and their sentiments and everything on canvas or on paper or whatever it may be. So do you think art, in your opinion, has the ability to actually change lives for people?
Okay, so yes. But I think you can also like change lives finding something they love. I don't know how to, let me try again. So for me, it is still very therapeutic to paint. You know? Sometimes the house is a chaos, and if I can, you know, I will take my husband, okay, I need an hour, and I come here and I paint. It doesn't happen all the time, and it's not always like that. But for me, it's like a way to, or maybe at night, I want to paint a little bit to relax myself. I don't know, for me, it is. But I think that art, for me, it's therapeutic, or it has changed my life, or it has given me like a purpose, I think. I think you can also find this, find this feeling with finding what you really love, and doing that, something that you love. For example, I don't know if someone is having a hard time, but what they love is gardening or cooking, you know, or doing something. I think it's super important that everyone. Gets that chance, you know, to do something they enjoy, because it makes you, of course, happier, and you're going to be a better person to everyone around you. Mm-hmm. And what I feel and what I can see sometimes, and I see this a lot, is that a lot of people don't know what they like, you know, doesn't know or don't know. They haven't found that because they haven't questioned themselves, or they haven't been led to question themselves. And so, yeah, art for, when I was in school, I remember my last project on to graduate was working with the left the left side of the brain.
Okay.
And how it was going to be, it was more efficient to teach a math, for example, to second graders with drawings and, you know, graphic things, and not just the numbers. And this was like, I don't know, 20 years ago, you know, so I've always been interested in this part of ourselves that we all have. But I don't think that everyone can really lose themselves in art. I don't know. I think you have to have this this cell, I don't know, this thing on yourself that will let you allow to do that. Because I don't know, I see my husband and I don't see him enjoying painting, but he enjoys doing other things that he does and makes him happy, you know. So I think that the key is finding something that makes you happy inside. Oh, I'm doing this because I really like it, and like I don't mind anything else. And I think that feeling, finding that, is can change lives, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so it has to come from within. It can't be forced. You know, you can't.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. No, that's fair. No, that's fair. Yeah. So what are some of your, projects that you're working on at the moment? And if you can talk a little bit about that before we close the interview.
Okay. Well, I'm always working on my portfolio, on my website, updating the library. So right now I'm really focused on that. I am finishing another fabric collection that I need to start like the whole process of working with the client and continue doing that. But I'm focusing on that, and I also want to make another show. Maybe bring this show with something new to another city or another country. That's like an option, and some ideas we have been talking about with Kim and Luis in Taller Balam. So I want to, now that I'm out, I think that I need to keep pushing that.
I think it's always the first step that is hard, but once you get a taste of it, yeah, and it works, then you know, then obviously you get excited and you want to do more and more of that. So
so
that's been interesting. Thank you, Maria, for sharing, you know, your thoughts, your inspiration, your backstory, and you know what you're currently doing, and all of that, your philosophy on art. I think it's been quite informative, and also, I mean, you know, anything that you may want to, because you've got a lot of experience in textile design as well as, you know, obviously art. On canvas and painting, is there anything that you would like to share your thoughts on with, you know, artists who are just starting to discover themselves as artists? Is there any kind of piece of advice that you would like to give them?
Yes, I don't know if I know the word in English, I would say consistency. Like, you have to continue doing just a few designs or a few paintings won't change your whole scenario. You have to keep pushing yourself and keep doing it, even though you're not selling, or even though you haven't found that place that you need to show your work, for example, or you don't have any clients. One part, of course, of working by yourself, and if you're working as an artist and you don't have representation, as in my case, there's a part that you always have to be contacting people, creating presentations, you know, finding the clients a little bit or more, depending on the workflow that you have. But there's another part that I think is the hardest, is that is that you have to keep doing, you know, keep doing things, keep improving, keep experimenting, keep growing, keep producing, especially if you're painting, keep painting. You know, it's don't wait that after a few paintings you're going to sit and see how it sells, because further than that, I think there's a lot of, I think art is not something that just you come to this point and that's it. You know, you come to this point, you have enjoyed that point, but you have to continue. It's like a journey that is never done. It's forever and ever while you are alive, you know, or why do you want to give your time to that? But I think it's like a consistency job. Like, you have to work and work and work and
okay.
I don't want to be hard. It's not like, of course there's a lot of enjoyment and happiness and when I see one of my prints in something that I have, or a dress or something, it's like something that it's like a feeling, you know, that it's really rewarding and all of that. But it's been a long journey for me and I've never stopped. So it's hard to keep working when you are maybe not being paid what you want to, or you're not selling the way you want to. But the only way is to keep, you know, keep exercising that part of or that style that you have, you know, those ideas, they need to keep, you know, you have to keep producing, like,
yeah,
always.
Yeah,
correct. You can stop. So a lot of people have, like, you know, creative blocks and they just can continue, or they just need to stop. And my advice there is, don't rush it, don't put extra stress on yourself. Try to deal with life in that moment. And if you don't paint for a year because you're having a hard time, or the contrary, maybe you are just traveling the world and you don't want to paint, that's completely fine. It's not like after a year you're not going to be able to do anything, or that you're going to start over. You're going to continue that. But okay, you took a year and then you came back. You know, yeah. It's something that it always need to be feeding, you know. It's something that always need to be fed.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And I think the creative mind, and if you're an artist or a writer, even writers get like a block, right? A writer's block. But if you're a creative person, I think like the key word here, as you've mentioned, is consistency, and to keep, you know, at it, and don't think that there will be results, financial gains, you know, five paintings later. I think you have to be consistent. You have to have like a portfolio and a bank of art, you know, that you love, that you've done from the bottom of your heart, and then, you know, and things will happen. So don't like block yourself, and that's the message.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you start painting and you have like, I don't know, 50 or 60 pieces, and you're going to present your work and you only have to choose five, you know, but you needed to do those. I'm not saying a number, you know, yeah. But even though you're not showing it because you don't like it, it's okay. But you needed to do that to be able to do the other thing that you did that you like. Yeah. You know, it's not that you're gonna use everything. It's not that you're gonna sell everything. But it's something that it's the only way to find that style, to find that to perfection that technique that you're using, or you know, to grow.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. That's
thank you so much for your
thank you, Maria. I really enjoyed talking
thank
to you
for inviting me
a lot. You have a lot to share, and I wish you all the very best, and the next time I'm in Barcelona, which will be a few months from now, I will definitely look you up.
Okay, please. I will look forward to it. Okay, I look forward to it.
Thank you.
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Pyle signing off.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.